تفسير from verse 30. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال نسوة, and the women said. نسوة is from نساء. في المدينة, of the city. In that city, that means in Egypt. The women of Egypt began to gossip. امرأة العزيز, the wife of the minister. تراود فتاها, is trying to seduce her slave. The women of the city began to talk about this incident, saying, the wife of Al-Aziz has seduced her young slave. عن نفسه, from his nafs. She's after her slave. Now just think of the decadence of their society, such a moral decline. When women are chasing men, تراود فتاها عن نفسه. Now, why was she chasing him? قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّا, for she has fallen madly in love with him. What is شَغَف? It means when love penetrates the recesses of your heart, deep inside your heart. شِغَف is the dividing line in your heart. That is, she is totally infatuated with him. إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا, indeed. We see her, في ظلال مبين, in manifest error. She's after a slave. She's not doing a right thing. Now, who's gossiping? The women of that city. Here, if you remember, قَالَ is used. But قَالَ is used for masculine gender. But here, it has been used with نِسْوَة. Why? Because it came in the beginning of the sentence. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ, when she heard about these remarks, makar, it means twisting the facts. That is generally what happens with the rumors. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ, when she heard about these remarks, she invited them. Meaning, when she heard their backbiting, she thought of a way out. What did she do? أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ, she invited them. وَأَعْدَدْ, and prepared لَهُنَّ, for them. What? Muttaka'an, a gathering of couches. She prepared for them a banquet. Muttaka'an, it is used for a couch, somewhere you recline against. Metaphorically, it is used for eating lightly, like not in a dining hall, but a drawing room, where you're eating and chatting. Now, she prepares a sitting room, which had couches, pillows, to recline on. وآتت, and gave. كل واحدة منهن سكينا, and gave each of them a knife. Now here you see fork and knife culture is more primitive than eating with your hands, more than 4,000 years old. So it is not a sign of sophistication. Islam introduced eating with your hands later on. Now, it is not that using a knife is prohibited, okay? But it should be used when necessary. A Bukhari hadith states that the Prophet ﷺ was using a knife to cut meat. And when Rasulullah ﷺ heard the azan, he put it down and left for salah. Meaning, if you have to use it for eating such food where use of knife is necessary, so of course there is no harm, okay? What's wrong is the artificiality with which using the knife, that is deplored, or you can say it is disapproved. No artificiality, okay? Otherwise, you can use knife. Sometimes it is a waste of time. And worst of all, when people eat with their left hand. Always be very careful about this, okay? You can either use the knife with your right hand for cutting, then put it down, and use your right hand for eating, or just use the fork as a knife. But always eat with your right hand, for this is the hallmark of a Muslim and a sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سَكِّينًا, and gave each of them a knife. She placed fruits, etc., and gave knife to everyone. وَقَالَتْ اِخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنَّ, وَقَالَتْ, she said, the wife of the minister, she asked who? Yusuf alayhi salam. What? أخرج عليهن to come out before them. She ordered Yusuf alayhi salam to come out. فلما رأينه, and when they saw him, who? They saw who? Yusuf alayhi salam. أكبرنه وقطعن أيديهن. They were so amazed that they cut their hands. Here, look at this word. أكبرنه. They considered him great. Here, the noon is a sign of the plural feminine gender. They were so impressed. وقطعن, that they cut أيديهن, their hands. Now, instead of using the knife on fruits, what happened? They used it on their hands. They cut their hands. And وَقُلْنَا, they said, they exclaimed, what? حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا, they exclaimed spontaneously, good Lord, حَاشَ لِلَّهِ, how perfect is Allah, مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا, he is no human being. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ, he is but a noble angel. Now from a slave to an angel, huh? First they said Fataha, slave, and now angel. In hadha illa malakun kareem, he is but a noble angel. Then the minister's wife said, qalat, she said, fadhalikunna alladhi lumtunnani fi, well, this is he about whom you blamed me. Walaqad rawattuhu an nafsihi fasta'sama, no doubt I seduced him, but he escaped. وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا آمُرُهُ, if he doesn't do what I say, لَيُسْجَنَنَّ, he will certainly be thrown into prison. وَلَيَكُونَ مِّنَ السَّاغِرِينَ, and be disgraced. So you see, the minister's words, إِنَّ كَيْدَ كُنَّ عَزِيمٌ, they're proved here. Here we see the words of the minister, they're proved. They prove to be right that inna kayda kunna azim, this woman's amal deed is showing it practically, how she plans everything to remove the accusation on her. Now look at this word, hasha lillah. Hasha, it is from ha waw sheen, hosh, meaning to surround an animal and bring it to a place. So what is the connection here? Hasha then means someone who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving everything, and he becomes pure. So, who says Hasha lillah? It means he is glorifying Allah's purity. It means Allah's purity. Now tell me, what was the truth of the women's pronouncement or their opinion regarding Yusuf alayhi salam? Because we see, there's a hadith concerning the night of Miraj that the Holy Prophet ﷺ has been reported to have said that when I met Yusuf ﷺ, I saw that Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with half of the beauty of the whole world, while the other half has been spread over the rest of it. I'll repeat the words. This is an authentic hadith that states that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ passed by Prophet Yusuf ﷺ during the night of Isra in the third heaven. And he commented, فَإِذَا هُوَ قَدْ أُعْطِيَ شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ, that he was given a half of all beauty. This is from Sahih Muslim. So do you understand this hadith? That his half was divided in this whole world, and the rest of half that was given to Yusuf alayhi salam. So here the woman is acknowledging, if you look at verse 32, فَاسْتَعْسَمَا, but he escaped. Although earlier she had alleged, مَا جَزَاءُ مِنْ أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِكَ سُوءًا, verse 25, what punishment does someone who intended evil against your wife deserve? Now why is this, huh? Because lies are inevitably transient. Lies have no base, they're baseless, and truth ultimately prevails. There's a Persian verse that states, the liar does not have a memory. That is, he is bound to forget his lies and confess the truth one day. Now, notice that the women are so overcome by his beauty, they cut their hands. Now, this does not happen in ordinary situation. It is something very unusual. And it seems as if they've fallen prey to what they condemned the minister's wife for. So this is also a way of Allah. Always be careful of condemning others, okay? For your words affect your heart, and one day you commit it yourself. Like when you're telling about the other's faults, a time comes that you too are doing the same. So that is why it is forbidden to discuss others bad. Because you see, whatever we say, we hear it. And whatever we hear, it affects our hearts. So it affects our own characters and conduct as well. And then one day the same evil seems to be very light or easy. And then one commits it himself as well. It has a psychological effect. And then remember that this was a short-lived infatuation, temporary love. And you see, this is widespread in our society as well today, and especially in our entertainment industry. Look at our novels, dramas, and movies. They're all based on this theme. Now remember, there are three kinds of love. First is love based on enjoyment, quickly begun and soon over. Once the enjoyment is over, the love ends. Second is love based on profit. Slow to happen, but quick to end. Like people wait for a long time, evaluating the profit. Then when they see any chance of profit, they grab it. But the love disappears soon. For example, many people form friendships with others purely on the basis of their post, ranks, wealth, etc. And when the wealth or that rank is not there, they vanish. Like if you look in our bureaucracy, minor officials express love for their seniors. They send gifts, cakes, etc. And on retirement day, what happens? All gifts, cakes, etc. cease, since there are no more chances for profit. Now the third kind of love. The third kind is pure goodness, complete khair, established soon and lasts forever. The only beneficial love, and all other kinds are disastrous. Only this is eternal. Why? Because it is love based on Allah. Love for the sake of Allah. You love someone, and this is because of the goodness that you see in someone, and it lasts till the goodness lasts in that person. And if this goodness does not remain, then this love too ends. You know, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they will be closest to me who alladhina ya'lifuna wa yu'lafun, those who love and they are loved. Now this love is based on goodness, and this love brings them close to Allah. It is not on false, vain issues, trivialities, for example, useless conversations, wasting of time. No. You care about the other person and worry about their hereafter. Otherwise, you see, on the day of Qiyamah, all friendships will end in hatred. Like it is said, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٌّ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Some friends will become enemy to others on the day of Qiyamah except Muttaqi, God-fearing. Generally, you see, people make us forget our true purpose and our mission. Analyze your conversations with your friends, huh? If they're based on Allah, there will be no gossip, no mocking, no taunts. You discuss how to progress in goodness, and no vain talks. You see, Ibadur Rahman refrain from vain talks. Like it comes, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُوْعِدُونَ. So what is meant by love, huh? For example, so what did you cook today? What did you eat? We are not here just to eat, huh? But you see, in a love based on Allah, Allah comes before your desires, and you look at Allah's pleasure, and you want to obey Allah. You do not want to disobey Allah in such a friendship. You try to please Allah, And you see, sign of the purity of this friendship is that daily you progress in love for Allah. This is the criteria. Now remember, if a friendship is making you turn away from Allah or impairing your iman, then beware. You see, we have a balance on which we can weigh our love. What do you do? Analyze your activities. Are your prayers, salah, delayed? When you're having fun with friends and tendency to delay it, huh? Oh, I'll just pray later. Then beware, okay? Or you're chatting all night and end up missing Fajr Salah. Tell me, will such a relationship which caused you to disobey Allah bring you under Allah's shade on the Day of Judgment? Impossible. You see, people who love each other for Allah's sake will be under the divine shade. But if the friendship was based on self-interest and enjoyment, and an outward label was attached for Allah, this label was attached for Allah, then this friendship will make you more lazy in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such relationships are deceptive. So do not be taken in, okay? You cannot sacrifice principles for the sake of love. But love can be sacrificed for the sake of principles. Imagine how Ibrahim alayhi salam sacrificed his son, that precious child for whom he had prayed so fervently. This is the meaning of Hanifam Muslima, unswerving. Ashaddu hubban lillah. Tell me, how many of us could sacrifice our love like this? Because you see, when someone claims to love you, so you are enslaved or obligated. And then fulfilling his expectations, what do? You forget Allah. And then you're pleasing that person so that he's not offended. And thus he continues to worship you. You see, it is very easy to reprimand someone you dislike. But to point out the mistakes of someone you love is the toughest thing in the world. And you see, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam adored his family. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. Translation, the best of you is the best to his family and I'm the best to my family. And you see, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would chat amiably with his family and everyone would be talking and laughing. And the minute Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard the azan, Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu ta'ala anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would become a total stranger, absolutely detached, for now Allah called him. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was on duty. We're just the opposite, huh? As long as people call us, we don't care about Allah. And then we have a huge sign saying, love for the sake of Allah. So here you can see the different kinds of love based on lust or someone's physical appearance. All are transient, not lasting. For beauty does not last either. But a love which increases your awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always last. Why? For Allah is eternal, huh? Now here she says, فَاسْتَعْصَمَا. So he saved himself. He guarded his chastity. He escaped. Now first she accused, and now she says he escaped. And how did he escape? What did we read in verse 24? وَلَقَدْ حَمَّتْ بِهِ وَحَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. And he would have advanced towards her had he not seen a sign from his Rabb. He saw a sign from his Rabb. And what was Burhan? That powerful force, the awareness that teaches you to distinguish between right and wrong perception, between good and evil. You know, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, فَأَلْهَمَهُمَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. To every person, fujur and taqwa are inspired in him. This is right and this is wrong. Everyone possesses this ability to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. Now, some use it and some don't. Just as our eyes recognize different colors, similarly, our hearts recognizes right and wrong, which is called basira. Like some people, they see with their eyes only, while some they see with the eyes of their heart, with the vision of their hearts. These only work if you possess an awareness of Allah's greatness. And you see, this is a shining light that guides you. وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا أَمُرُهُ لَيُسْجَنَنَّا وَلَيَكُونًا مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. If he doesn't do what I say, he will certainly be thrown into prison and be disgraced. And here you see, look at Yusuf alayhi salam's calmness. After all, he was a slave, and for him to take on someone so powerful was no mean feat. It was not easy to reject the wife of the minister because she was one of power, and then it can have some bad end result as well. What about us? You see, we are too overcome by cowardice. We fear people. Oh, she'll leave me. He will stop caring. He will give me a loss. So do as this person says, huh? And leave what Allah says. But you see, one who fears Allah above all is fearless of people. For he knows Allah's grip is the most intense. Qala, he said, who? Yusuf alayhi salam. Rabbi sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilayh. O my Rabb, I would rather go to prison than that to which they invite me. You see, such a big fitna. First, it was only one woman, and now so many women together. I cannot face all this evil, so send me to prison. Here I would like to quote this hadith. Remember, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, O women folk, you should give charity and be diligent in seeking Allah's forgiveness. Because I've seen, that is on the night of ascension to the highest heavens, I've seen that dwellers of hell are women. Most of the dwellers of hell are women. A woman amongst them said, why is it that the majority of the dwellers of hell are women? On this the Holy Prophet ﷺ replied, you curse frequently and are ungrateful to your husbands. In spite of your lacking in wisdom and failing in religion, you are depriving the wisest of men of their intelligence. In spite of your lacking in wisdom, you are depriving the wisest of men of their intelligence. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ. And unless you ward off their cunning snare from me, أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ, I may, that is in my youthful folly, feel inclined towards them. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and become one of the ignorant. So Yusuf alayhi salam prays that I'm only a human, so I'd rather go to prison. Now imagine, how could anyone pray for such a fate that he likes prison for himself? And you see, people tremble at the thought of prison. Think of the humiliation of prison, huh? Now just look at this, that a person is sacrificing so much, but he cannot displease his Rabb. So you can see he has a beautiful character. And here the statement of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, that the prison is dearer to me, does not reflect any desire or wish to be detained in a prison. Okay? Instead of that, it is an expression which shows that he would find it easier to face this temporal hardship as compared to that of falling in sin. Now we all should analyze ourselves. Do we have such characters today? And we see what is happening in our society. This disease is so common in almost every second house, having extramarital relations, such friendships which are not allowed in Islam. Secret friendships, huh? This is not allowed in Islam. Here, look at this word, asbu, verse 33. This is from swat, ba, waw, inclination of nafs. And then highlighten, wa akum min al jahileen, and become one of the ignorant. Near us, all these evil deeds they're considered as modernism. Brilliant minded, educated people, they do it, huh? Because they're modern. And those who do not do such, they're ignorant ones. But here Allah Ta'ala says, look at the words. What is Yusuf saying? وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. So remember, such is not an Islamic character or Islamic conduct. This is ignorance, deeds of paganism. Whereas Islam is light. We say we are Muslims, huh? But our deeds, they're like the deeds of paganism. And these are very meaningful words. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. That is, if I do what the others are doing, then what is the difference between me and them? أَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And here again, remember that hadith that I told you that Allah Ta'ala will give shade to seven on the day of Qiyamah, when there will be no shade but His. And one of them was who? A man who refuses the call of a charming woman of noble birth for illicit intercourse with him. And he says, I'm afraid of Allah.